Okay, well, I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And welcome to everybody. I hope we can all get through this and when it's all over with, we understand what we've done. hope for this. That seems to be the world we live in these days. So going to the first item of business, we need to approve February 19th, 2020 minutes, which everybody should have received by email. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
I missed.
Oh, I didn't understand.
I think that was Jessica.
That was Jessica, and I moved to accept the minutes as presented.
This is okay. Kevin, and I said
it's been moved and seconded that we accept the minutes as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Hey, Kristen.
Do we need to do this as a roll call?
I'm sorry. Yeah, because we're meeting electronically, we do have to call the roll for any motion. Sorry about that.
I figured I just didn't catch it in time. So for the panelists, we've got to go through each name just because it may not be clear through the audio who is motioning and accepting. So we've got Jessica motioning, Kevin Cron seconding, and let's see, we'll start with Carolyn.
Aye.
Aye. Kevin? Rodrigo?
Aye.
All right, then I think we've got everybody, correct?
Don't forget Bruce.
Oh, yeah, Bruce. Your name isn't up there, so I am going to forget you. Just keep me on task, please.
Okay. Aye, yeah.
Okay. So now we've got everybody.
Okay, so now the motion passes. Okay. What do we do when we review the meeting results? Is that separate from
that approved? Follows right in line with the minutes, unless you guys wanted to discuss any further the adjustments that we made in February. Which would have just been the change to the three-month base from 91% of the nine-month to 90%. But that decision is based on a calculation. So if anybody desperately wants to discuss it, we can. We can touch on it a little bit more in my report. Which is the next item.
Okay, anybody want to discuss that right now, or just we'll wait for Crafton to get into his report? All right, Crafton, I'm not hearing anybody, so why don't you go ahead with your report?
Okay. So since February, we've had a fair number of changes just in our way of life. I don't think I have to tell anybody that. But one change that we haven't seen since I started, at least, and before that for sure, is a regular increase in retail milk sales. So that streak went from February, when we last met, through the end of July. August, we saw a slight drop in sales, and I'm still trying to figure out what the culprit is there. And my suspicion is it is school sales with partial reopenings. And I say that because the Eastern market was still showing an increase of about 2% in milk sales, whereas the Western market and the Southwestern markets both showed drops. But I can't confirm that yet because I haven't delved into the numbers enough to pinpoint it. I don't know if Jessica has any insight since she'd be out that way and is in school. I don't know what Pennsylvania is doing with respect to a total reopening or not.
Would you like me to comment on that at this time? Can you hear me?
I can. There's a lot of feedback.
See if I can find somewhere else and not lose signal. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. So the question was about a return to school, like a full opening, correct?
Yes.
So currently, our particular school division is going to do somewhat of a phase-in approach. So at our last school board meeting, it was decided on September the 28th, we would take in students in pre-K through third grade, as well as students who would attend the Pennsylvania Career and Technical Center. And then on October the 12th, we would take in students through 12th grade, but all that is contingent upon the ability for us to not, quote, be in the red, if you would say, based on that 5% threshold in the Southwest area. We have actually been trending red for quite a while. Pennsylvania County, as of, I want to say Monday, had 906 cases, positive cases reported of COVID. And that is definitely an increase, and it's been increasing over the past several weeks. So the goal is to school, but we want to make sure we do that safely and within the guidelines that are provided. But from a meal standpoint, our school division has been doing a phenomenal job of making sure that students are getting multiple meals a day, however many basically they need, and there's a pickup point located at all the schools, elementary, middle, and high school. So, and everybody gets milk. So that was one of the things that happened between March 16th and then May 21st when we officially released out of school. And then over the summer from that point forward, May 21st until when we got back into school, all students received meals. At least a breakfast and a lunch for multiple days to last them pretty much from Monday through at least Saturday, if not Sunday. And every meal came with milk.
Which is great.
Yes.
You blew up my theory about school coming in being the cause for the drop in the Southwest and Western markets. So you made my job a little more difficult, but I appreciate the report.
You're okay. It was specifically for Pennsylvania County, and I will say our school nutritionist has just done a phenomenal job of making sure that our students in our school division have been taken care of. But I cannot say that is consistent across the board in the Southwest region. I do want to say that as a caveat to my report.
I appreciate it. So I will be looking to see what caused that drop in sales in August, just to make sure that it is an actual drop and not something where we missed some reporting for the month of August. And I will say, along with what Jessica said, that the school nutrition programs here in the Eastern market had converted from offering half pints with those meals to half gallons, which I think helped bolster sales and hopefully consumption in homes. And we'll really have to wait and see when the schools go back in if that continues. So we'll look forward to the possibility that milk sales will continue to to at least remain up a little bit for the near future and hopefully long term. And we'll have to go back and research to figure out what exactly caused the drop. Next up is more the pricing aspect of it. 2020 has been a little bit better than 2019 on average with respect to the Class 1 producer price. It probably would have looked much better if May and June's price weren't so drastically lower than what they were for the rest of the year. And I believe, I don't know if he joined, but Eric Paulson said that there was an announcement last night from the president about additional CFAP funds going to dairy farmers specifically. And I'm sure somebody can fill me in or provide more detail than what I'll be able to do based off of what he told me. We might have to open it up to Michael Maia at the end. I'm sure he knows exactly what went on.
I can comment on that. This is Jimmy, okay. If you want me to for a second. We've gotten an email from National Milk this morning, and it's going to be $1.20 a hundredweight for April through August production for dairy farmers. And then they're going to estimate the September through December productions. USDA will do that somehow. And I think I'm correct. It'll be still the $1.20 for that production. And then also there will be a factor for cull cows and bull calves that were sold in that time period. And I think some type of payment for row crops as well.
Okay. But
I know it's $1.20 a hundredweight basically on your production.
Were any mechanics as far as how that will be distributed or what requirements?
I didn't see anything specific, but the way it sounded, it's going to be done in a single payment. And I think sign up starts next Monday. So as soon as you sign up and they can verify your production and project that production for the last part of the year, then I think you're supposed to receive the money pretty quickly. But we all know how that goes.
We will
pretty,
remain
pretty quickly is a relative term.
Well, I'll try to track down some information. Maybe we can distribute something that will provide farmers with some way to make sure they can sign up.
Yeah.
Well, so, this is Bruce. Can I add a comment?
Yes, sir.
I've got 15 head, and the local farm service agency sent us all the forms to fill out for so much per head that you're maintaining now, and they're going to electronically deposit it in my big bank account. So we've done all that through the farm service agency. So it's several people I know are doing the same thing. So we get so much ahead. I can't remember, James, what it was, $12 a head or something like that for lost revenue, future revenue. Now that's on beef, so I don't know.
Okay, well,
you're talking about for the first round of payment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember what that was, but
I mean, the deadline is just coming up here in a couple of days to get it done.
But yeah, what we're talking about now is the second round of payments that are coming out. So that sign up starts Monday.
Okay, excuse me.
Yeah, and Bruce, that was just announced last night, I believe. Relatively new information.
Okay. Well, you send us some. I'll be glad to read it all up.
I'll try to track it down. I'm sure there are better experts for that, but I'll try to do my part. So going back to reviewing, I guess, the results of the last meeting, with respect to the school sales, and I don't know exactly how we'll handle it, but we'll have to discuss it come February. We base our percentage that we reduce the 3 month on school sales from the previous year. And I'm curious as to how that will be handled with such an unusual school year. So if anybody has any suggestions with an adequate way to approach that, I would be all ears. Because I think either way we look at it, my numbers that we receive will be skewed a little bit. If I use actuals, in some cases, school sales of milk were up because of the nutrition programs giving the half gallons compared to the half pint. But if I go the other way and say, well, school was out, then we're looking at a reduction in the 3 months to almost nothing. And I'm not shocked that nobody wants to do math on a Friday afternoon. So.
Yeah, I think we're going to leave that up to you.
I appreciate that, Jimmy. And other than that, my next point ties into our only new business with the licenses. So if there's anything anybody else, might have questions about at this time, I'd say now would be the time to do it.
Well, I was wondering about the sales for the year. How much are they up?
They are at 2.98% up through August. And okay. That includes the dip in sales in the Western and Southwestern market. So we're still up. The most we were up for the year was about 4.5%, I believe, in June. And that's leveled out as the summer months progress.
Well, I hope we don't keep decreasing the rest of the year and lose that we've gained.
That's my hope as well. And it has helped with having people at home, especially kids. But I think one of the other big helps is people commuting less. Cereal sales have also increased during that same period. And they were experiencing a very similar decline in sales as milk in previous years. So I think it's just one of those, we've got to find a way to make milk a commuting beverage instead of just an at-home thing. Because I know people still enjoy cereal. I have no trouble getting the kids to eat it, and I know we're an exception, but we go through 2 or 3 gallons a week right now between the four of us.
Well, y'all keep it up.
We'll do the best with the numbers we have. I really don't think I can handle adding any more miles in the house. So if there's nothing else for the time being, we will move into new business. We had, I'd say, an inordinate number of licenses to either amend or approve this period. Most of that is related to the DFA acquisition of most of the Dean Foods plants. So the information for the applications changed, but the licenses themselves don't change that much. I have held off on a couple of those that were meant to be sold. I believe the SEC dictated that they couldn't keep three plants, and one of those is one that is licensed in Virginia. That's Gorelick up in Franklin, Massachusetts. And don't hold me to this, but another one that is in Wisconsin, I believe. We're still trying to track down three more as well. Those are Borden, which was also going through bankruptcy and has just decided on a new name. I think going forward, they will be called New Dairy. We're awaiting their application, and we've got one other Dean Foods property that is now owned by Prairie Farms in Ohio that will need to update their information with the commission. So we've got five new distributor licenses to approve. I figured we'd break this down by the new applications, and we'll run through the roll call for those, and then we'll do one for the amended Dean Foods licenses. And none of these are truly new. It's just a matter of what they handled. Dollar General was previously serviced by another licensed distributor, but they built a new distribution center in North Carolina and now handle those milk sales. The McLean, Ohio, and McLean Southern have requested that those remain temporary. They wanted a license to hold in the event that the current distribution centers had any issues with COVID and they needed to shift sales.
COVID, I guess, yeah.
Venture Milk is a small, it's a processing producer, general distributor that handles milk for the Fresh Market. They're out of Alabama, and Spartan Nash, Ohio will handle some Amazon sales. And that so far has been only in the unregulated market that may not change for a while, but they're just covering their bases in the possibility that they expand their sales in the state. So are there any questions about those potential licenses?
None here.
Okay, then do we have I guess we'll run through the roll to approve those applicants as permanent licenses. Let's see.
I guess we need somebody to make a motion first. Or are we going to do them one at a time?
This is Carolyn. I move to make a motion to approve the permanent licenses.
This is Rodrigo.
Go ahead. This is Bruce. I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the distributor licenses. Now I guess we can go through the roll and vote. Or is there any other discussion? Okay, let's go through the roll then, I guess, Crafton.
Carolyn motioned, so she's good. Kevin? Jessica?
Aye.
Jimmy?
Aye.
Bruce?
Yes.
Okay. That's everybody on those. The remaining licenses that we have to approve are all the Dean Foods locations. I don't know if anybody has any questions regarding those or concerns about approving them as amended. I do have to change the date that they are approved or issued on the licenses that were included in the agenda. But otherwise, there's not much difference in what they looked like before. The only change was who was listed as the owners and CEO of those locations.
Do we need to take formal action on that, or do we need a motion for that too?
Yeah, that will require a motion as well, and then we'll have to do a roll call for that.
It's Kevin, and I move approval.
This is Carolyn. I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve these. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, then we'll vote.
All right, Jessica.
Aye.
Jimmy.
Aye.
Bruce.
Yes.
Rodrigo.
Yes.
All right, and we will get permanent licenses out to all of those applicants. And I believe I've got three more scheduled for next week as well. Those are all non-processing general distributors that we're shifting from competitors. We'll handle those at the December meeting. And that's all of my new business. So, Jimmy, I think you can take it from there.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Crafton, and appreciate all your hard work and your staff as well. Okay. It's time now for the commissioner's remarks. If there are any commissioners that have anything they'd like to say, now's the time.
This is Carolyn. I would like to entertain a thought that's in my mind, which could be considered dangerous. I'm glad that we're going to conferences where we're practicing the social distance. I actually happen to be a commission member that is several hours away from some of these locations like Charlottesville and Richmond. So the next thought that I would like to entertain is the possibility of, if being unable to conference in to a future meeting, I wanted to see what administrative aspects could be done so that I can give my proxy vote to the chair in my absentee for future. And I wasn't sure how much work is involved in that, but as we go into winter season, if for some reason I'm unable to call in, how much work is involved for me to give my votes at a future meeting to the chair so that my votes could still be counted?
That may be a better question for the host, if he's willing to answer that. I don't know that we can do proxy votes.
Yeah, the host is not willing to weigh in that crap. I'm not aware of a process for using proxy votes for boards or commissions. Setting up a phone option is certainly a possibility, but
just wanted confirmation that I wasn't wrong in my thinking more than anything else. So, Carolyn,
we can certainly check with legal counsel on that, but I'm not aware of a process that we've used for that.
Okay, because that means it's all the more important to select a date when all the commissioners are available for a quorum, rather than picking a date where the majority of them can hold a quorum and my vote can be given so that the chair can move on whatever issues may be pertaining that day. I just wanted to raise the question and see if that was an option. So it sounds like the answer may be no.
With respect to a proxy, I'm quite certain that the answer is no, yeah. But we'll look to see what other options are available. If you had asked a year ago, holding an electronic meeting was much more difficult than what we are allowed to do right now. So we're in an ever-changing time, and we can certainly explore options.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Knowing that we are going through a challenging time, perhaps probably for another 9 months or perhaps a year. So thank you for your work.
Okay, thank you, Carolyn, for that. Any other commissioners have any comments?
It's Friday afternoon.
What was that?
I said it's a Friday afternoon, so I expect we're getting to where people would rather not be on an electronic meeting.
Yep, I agree. Well, if there's no other remarks from commissioners, we don't have anybody from the general public on the meeting, do we? No public comment.
Crafton, if you would like, what we could do is we could ask anybody that would like to comment during the public comment period to either raise their hand or they could just type their name into the Q&A function. And then I could, if there's anybody on that list, I could just unmute their mic if they would like to make a few comments to the commission.
Yeah, that works for me. And we do have several members of the public that have joined. It looks like Michael Myatt raised his hand.
I see that. Michael, I'm going to go ahead and unmute your mic now, and you can address the commission.
Thank you for that. I don't really have many comments. I do thank you for the invitation to join here. This aid, the details on the aid that came out last night, I think will be a help to dairy farmers because we're looking at a significant price drop in October, and I don't know about November, so that'll be very much appreciated. One thing it is tied to, Crafton, to get back to your question, is producers applying, I think, do have to be in compliance with some of the wetland conservation programs and erodible land programs, and that's all I've read so far, but thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Michael. There anybody else from the public that would like to chime in?
I don't see anybody on the question or answer list, nor do I see a hand raised, Crafton.
No, I'm not seeing it either, so I think.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess then our last order of business would be to schedule the next meeting. So that would be sometime in December?
Yes, we've got to get it done before January because we will have to discuss the distributor costs for 2021. Mr. Lenny sent his time frames when it worked for him to attend, and it was basically the second and third week of December. I don't know how those work for you guys. I know as we push closer to Christmas, it gets a little more challenging to get everybody together. So I'd say anytime from November 30th through the 18th is fair game. And I would prefer not to do a Friday meeting if we can help it, just because I feel like we've all got other things to do to tie up the week. So I'll open the floor to any suggestions.
This is Carolyn, and I have a question. Go ahead, Jessica. My question was, will this be a WebEx meeting or will this be a physical in-person meeting?
My intent is that this one would be another electronic meeting.
That would be my preference as well, and I would make myself available for an online meeting, and I would be open to that. Thank you.
I was going to suggest, Crafton, before you said no Friday meeting, that we put it at December the 18th, because that would be literally 3 months from today. But I don't think you would like to do that. So
I serve at your discretion. So you guys set the date and I will make it work.
I personally like the 18th, just because typically I think the past, I don't know, 3 years or so, we've had some really bad storms that first week into the second week of December. And I would really not like to push the limits of being without power and having to attend a meeting. But I've noticed like the week before Christmas and like the week of Christmas, the weather was better. So I'm just throwing it out there. If we're doing things electronic, and even like Carolyn had said earlier, it's something about that second and third week, I think it'd be better for us to meet then. And I prefer a Friday.
This is Kevin. The 17th and the 18th do not work for me.
Kevin, how about the 11th?
As far as I know, the 11th is okay, or I was going to say maybe even the 16th. That's a Wednesday.
Either of those is fine with Bruce.
Jessica, how's the 16th work for you?
It should be okay if we're still hybrid. The 16th should be fine. If we're full on in person, I don't know. So I will see how I can make it work.
Is there a better time of day?
No, actually 2 o'clock is awesome. So 2 o'clock would work.
Well, how about we shoot for the 16th at 2 o'clock then? And if something comes up in the meantime, we'll try to straighten it out before then.
I think that's a good idea. We can, the world changes so fast these days. You know, we just take a stab at it and see how it works out. But the 16th would work for me.
Okay, then we'll tentatively schedule it for December 16th at 2 p.m.
Sounds good. Bruce says yes.
That's good.
Works for me.
Works for me.
Okay. All right. Well, Crafton, is there anything else we need to discuss?
Not that I have on my agenda. So unless we've got any straggler comments, then I think I'm good.
Anything anybody else would like to bring up before we adjourn? All right. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for being on the call and thank the powers that be that made this call possible and got us through it. And hope everybody stays safe. And we'll talk to you in December, if not before.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your work.
Thank you all.
All right. Have a good week. Thanks.